Tonight, as I mentioned, we're going to focus on I Am the Good Shepherd. But before we read the text, let's talk about what the adjective good means. Good has become one of those throwaway words. Ask any child when they come home from school how their day was, and they will likely tell you good. But what does that mean? I often think our understanding of Jesus as the Good Shepherd includes this Sunday school image. At least this was the image that hung in the Sunday school classrooms as I was growing up, where Jesus has the sheep draped across his shoulders. The Gospel of John defines the Good Shepherd by contrasting Jesus with the hired hand. So listen to the text from the 10th chapter of John. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This concept of a good shepherd is familiar to those who Jesus speaks to now. They're familiar with the image of God as the good shepherd from the book of Ezekiel. The people remember God's promises in Ezekiel to seek the lost, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak, to rescue the sheep from days of clouds and thick darkness, to gather them from wherever they have been scattered, to feed them on good pasture, let them lie down by the still waters and feed them with justice. The things have now changed, and Jesus is God incarnate, God made man. It is Jesus who is now the good shepherd. Jesus is now the one who cares for us, loves us, is in relationship with us, protects us, and knows us all by name. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus as the good shepherd, though, is not for us alone. Jesus is not simply my good shepherd. Jesus as the good shepherd is a promise for not just us, but for others. The image of a shepherd like this can be so strong that it's pretty easy to pass over verse 16 that we just read, which says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Jesus knows that his work is not done. Jesus knows that God's flock includes not only those who believe in God, the sheep of Israel at that time, but others outside the community who don't. This whole concept comes up in a few chapters when the risen Jesus speaks to Peter. When Jesus is physically no longer there to be the shepherd, Peter is to embody what is expected of all disciples of Jesus, to live the love of Jesus by being the shepherd to all the sheep. And Jesus tells Peter three times, actually, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And as disciples, we too are also called to be a shepherd, not just to those in our flock, those in our fold, but to all. As Jesus told Peter, just as I loved you, you should also love another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. But who are these other sheep? Who are we called to tell about Jesus and to care for as Jesus has cared for us? Immediately preceding this statement of I am the good shepherd, there's a conversation in John where Jesus, the disciples, encounter a blind man from birth who is sitting alongside of the road. And the man is begging as he sits there. And Jesus reaches into the dirt, picks up some, puts some spit into it, places it on the man's eyes. The man is healed. The man can see again. But after the healing, the townspeople don't believe that it was Jesus who healed him. So they kicked the man who could now see out of town. But Jesus brought the man back and brought him into community. Was this man one of the other sheep? Jesus saved him from isolation and from the everlasting darkness that goes with blindness. Jesus brought the man into a new and abundant pasture. He brought him back into the community with his sight and into an eternal life that he had never known. So yes, I would say he is a sheep. I can't remember where I heard it, but I remember the story that I was told that on an exam, a college exam, there were the usual questions about subject matter. But the last question on the last exam of the year asked for the name of the individual who cleaned their building, the one they passed each and every day in the hallway, and few of the students knew her name. Do we? Where are the sheep in our lives who need to hear about Jesus and be brought into the fold? Who are the ones with the deepest need, with an inner emptiness that only God can fill? Who are the forgotten ones, the ones who sit by the side of the road, the ones we pass by day after day? I want to finish with a poem that was written by Pastor Ken Stork in 2015, and it seems to capture our question of who are the sheep. Where do they belong? The atheist uncle? The learned professor? The hairdresser who has given up on religion? Where do they belong? The altruistic benefactor? The faithful spouse who never went to worship, the friend who left the church years ago. Where do they belong? Might they be the other sheep? Jesus announces, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. Could grace be more expansive than our ecclesiastical boundaries? The walls of the church, the flock inside. Amen.